New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello, and thank you very much for tuning in to this week's episode of The Ball Bags podcast. Episode 9, the penultimate one in Season 5, as we sojourn just before the festive period. And a warning to all listeners, there is no need to adjust the wireless. There's a voice you haven't heard in a few weeks, and he's back. Rocky, how are we, sir?
I tried to quit, but they pulled me back in.
Lucrative offer. Slammed on the table.
I am here entirely against my own will, just so everybody's aware.
Just so the listener's aware, it was very much 1930s New York style newspaper. I grabbed my assistant by the collar and I was like, don't let him go, he's got moxie. And I was like, Rocky didn't come back. He was due to be back last week, but decided not to come because he was swimming in a pool of his new earnings a la Scrooge McDuck.
That's right.
But look,
I'm glad to be back. How are you doing? I hope I haven't missed a huge amount.
Well, surely you tuned in every week at least.
I did, but it's the backstage banter that I miss.
Fair. Well, look, enough time spent on traitors. And let's talk about the bloke that's here every week. Rain, hail, or shine. Jordan flu game or no Jordan flu game, it's the Chief. How are we, sir?
I'm good, Sasquatch. Yes, I do have the old seasonal man flu at the moment, so if my voice comes across a little bit ropey, that is the reason, but like Jordan, I will pull it out of the bag and keep motoring.
Maybe you should take notes and professionalism there, Rocky, while you're sitting there stewing.
I recall doing an episode or two while sick.
Oh, it escapes my memory. I look, guys, we're joking anyway. For anyone that tunes in, I think there is a bit of animosity towards myself and Rocky. There absolutely is. But look, you know the crack at this stage, as the fella says, you know the lay of the land. It's player of the week, followed by agree, disagree, and then followed by must-see TV this week. So look, it's going to be heavily oval-shaped with a slight sprinkling. Of association football, maybe in the smaller segments. So apologies to the Premier League faithful who was hoping for maybe a review of Liverpool City at the weekend. It didn't fully live up to its billing, or well, it probably did in intermediate, but not in the ongoing series. So I've talked for far too long, but I am just going to quickly let you know that my player of the week, I rather biased Bukayo Saka. I know. Obviously, it was West Ham. It's not the most glamorous fixture. But they were buoyed by a victory over Newcastle on Monday night away. Bukayo Saka had a goal, two assists. And God love him. Even as a neutral, you got to appreciate that man gets kicked around on a weekly basis and consistently gets up looking for more. So, look, biased, I know. But, I'm going Bukayo Saka.
I'm going to go Brock Bowers this week. If I asked you to pick a name from the Las Vegas Raiders on offense, you might be hard-pressed to pick a name. But Brock Bowers is out there doing it as a rookie tight end who is already the best at his position. I think he's having the best year out of all tight ends. He had 14 targets. 10 of those he caught for 140 yards and a touchdown. Rookie tight end is a notoriously difficult I suppose, learning curve going from college to the NFL level. I think last year against Sam Laporta, he was a bit of an anomaly. He had a hot start, but Brock Bowers has blown that out of the water again. You don't often see a rookie being the best at his position, and that's what he's doing there.
Yeah, you could argue it's a very promising rookie class when you look at like the Eagles' secondary positions picked up.
Some absolute fantastic players coming into the league this year.
And that's obviously bypassing the Chiefs, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels at the Commanders. And the last thing to add about Mr. Bowers that you didn't mention is he's also probably the first rookie who's going to head to Turkey in the offseason.
Yeah, yeah.
That man is regressing at a rate of knots. Yeah. Not seen it someone under the age of 25 since one of the Charlatans.
Mm-hmm. It's worth pointing out as well, like the Raiders, and I don't know whether to count it as a positive or not. It's a bit akin to when the Cardinals picked Josh Rosen as a quarterback in the first round 1 year and then picked up Kyler Murray the next year. Last year, they picked up Michael Mayer, who was one of the higher touted tight ends in the draft, and they double dipped in tight end this year. He's probably going to be an all-pro tight end. Maybe not one of them, you know, the key cornerstone pieces of a team that'll get you anywhere, but it's good to have that caliber of player on your team.
In any position, yeah.
At any position.
Chief.
So I've actually picked this guy only a couple of weeks ago as well, and it's the continued renaissance of Russell Wilson. He's 414 yards on 29 of 38 passing, three touchdowns, and he did have a pick six, but led the Steelers to a 44-38 win over the Bengals, which also secured Mike Tomlin's 18th season in a row of a winning record. I think Tomlin has found a nice quarterback to complement his coaching and stuff.
Yeah, look, and I know I probably shouldn't factor in because it's player of the week, but you look at where that bloke was the last maybe two seasons.
Yep.
It's a testament to not just Tomlin's coaching, but his ability to receive coaching. Because veteran players sometimes struggle with adjusting kind of expectation and kind of where they are in their career. So you got to say full credit to him.
Like he definitely struggled in Denver last year.
Mm.
And to turn it around from that, let's say, shit show. But yeah, he's turned it around, and he's producing it week on week, and yeah, that's my player of the week.
I know it was the Bengals defense, but you know, that are being historically bad at the moment. Mm. The last time the Steelers scored over 40 points was 6 years ago. And Russell Wilson doesn't account for all 44 points. But, you know, it hasn't been done by that team in 6 years.
Yeah.
He is, I think, quite clearly has turned a corner from the last 2 years. I think it's a good selection.
Fair. A small tidbit before we pick our player of the week.
Oh.
I don't know if anyone has caught a glimpse yet of, I think it's out tonight, actually, so you probably haven't, of the new Hard Knocks, which is covering the AFC North. I think this one actually might be must-watch. Mike Tomlin is, I suppose, renowned for being very hard to be mic'd up when he's not, when it's not press engagements. He kind of avoids it at all costs. And there's a sound clip that's doing the rounds in social media, where I can't remember the Steelers player, but he's twigged that Mike Tomlin is in the change room wearing a lapel mic, and he said, "Coach, are you mic'd up?" And Mike Tomlin, in the most amazing way, just turns around and just says, "Shut your bitch ass up."
Yeah,
it's amazing content. I can only imagine how good that's gonna be.
I seen that clip. Yeah, it's I think that is definitely a must watch. Yeah, that episode of Hard Knocks.
So, gents, if we had to Bukayo Saka, Evan's going to fight hard for him. Brock Bowers and Russell Wilson. Who would we pick?
Well, I'm happy to... I think Brock Bowers is having a hell of a season. Maybe I'd cede it here to Russell Wilson, who had a fairly sensational week. But just noting that Brock Bowers, and he might come up later on in this podcast, but I'd be happy to give or lean towards Russell Wilson on this.
He may also, you know, feature in weeks to come, or maybe even seasons to
come. As a guest on this podcast.
No, I think he's set for a future in the NFL, so I don't think so. And he's not going to be selling life insurance and amateur podcasting in the evening, I don't think. Yeah, I would follow in on that, cognizant of my own biases when I picked mine. So happy to digress to the Chief.
I'll make it a clean sweep and go with Russell Wilson.
Big year.
and take the win.
Big of you.
Talk about classless.
Yeah, my God. You should have just... Two of us had already selected him, so you could have shown a bit of class there, but...
Saka.
Yeah, good man. Perfect. Yeah, so look, we're going to kick off agree to disagree. I'm basically going to look at rugby past. Rocky is going to cover a bit of NFL action, and then the Chief is going to look at rugby future. I suppose if you get the Scrooge reference in the lead up to Christmas.
If you'd put me first or last, I could have gone off and done a few chores, but
exactly.
Kind of have to sit around now.
Exactly. Anyway, clock's running. Stop hijacking my segment.
Sorry.
I suppose now that the dust has settled on the Autumn Internationals, Ireland obviously going a week longer than most. Who are the winners and losers from Ireland's window? Rocky.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you say from Ireland's window, you just mean with some of the teams that they faced.
I meant the Irish squad, I suppose. It's kind of probably poorly worded question on my behalf.
Okay. Mm. So many winners and losers. So many. I actually wouldn't know where to begin.
To be honest, I'm surprised you didn't go for the low-hanging route and list Dulux as the major winner from the window.
Yep.
But, yeah.
Dulux. Look,
I think Fleetwood have something to say about that.
While you're thinking, Chief, think of the winners and losers from the...
Yeah, so I suppose I'll start with the positives, and the big winners for me are definitely Gus McCarthy at hooker. And although, like, I think he's been hyped too much, Sam Prendergast has clearly jumped ahead of Kieran Frawley and the Byrne brothers. So he's definitely a winner. I suppose another winner, Craig Casey. I think he's probably now jumped ahead of Conor Murray for that at least bench spot, and
I think he's cut the gap too.
Yeah, on Gibson Park, I think so. It's much tighter now than it was, like, because Gibson Park was the clear starting nine between all options in the country. Losers, obviously, are Kieran Frawley. He still has a squad role to play for certain squad makeups, like bench 6-2 split. He might get that shout, but how it was billed in the summer, coming from the winning drop goal in South Africa and to an unfortunate 15 minutes against the All Blacks where nothing went right for him, he's fallen back down the pecking order. Loser, not necessarily in terms of anything he done wrong, but Andrew Porter, for the minutes the man has put in, that there's no one that he, like, you can take him off after 50-55 minutes. It's not necessarily like on him, so maybe it's Andy Farrell is actually the loser for not trying other options in this window.
Fair. Agree with an awful lot of what you said. I have a few additional ones I kind of had just in my head. I'm trying to eliminate the ones you'd mentioned from my list. I think as a general rule of thumb, for the young guns, so to speak, phenomenal arm international, Gus McCarthy, definitely. And another one who probably deserves a bit of a shout out, Tom Clarkson. I thought when he came on, he looked good. I think Finley Beelan probably set himself back. He probably, unless we're stuck, he's kind of eradicated the possibility of himself as a star. Bench role, absolutely 100%. I'm not going to try to pronounce his surname, but I thought Cormac from Ulster, henceforth.
Tullamore, actually. What? Awfully man.
He's an awfully man. I know he's a Tullamore man. but representing Ulster. Yeah. I thought he looked good. There's a lot in him. I like his mobility. The other one I would say is, it's probably someone who's, we just kind of accept him as a standard. And I think my comparison here is cream and double cream. But I think Josh Van de Vleer had a phenomenal Autumn Internationals. I think he had World Rugby Player of the Year caliber Autumn International. Yeah. And I think he has kind of fallen back in the periphery of importance, given maybe Doris's year.
Emergence and stuff, yeah.
But as I said, you're comparing cream and double cream. It's a very good standard you're comparing it to, but I just thought he was exceptional. The other one is probably Robbie Henshaw.
Yeah, I think the centre pairing of Henshaw and Aki is our best pairing. And as Ringrose is very good for Leinster, but it doesn't always translate to his Irish form. And I definitely think Henshaw seems to be a better 13 in the Irish setup than Ringrose is in the Leinster setup, if you get me.
I've always said it, Ringrose is a phenomenal centre when you're by far and away the most dominant side. I don't think he's fantastic when it's not going your way. Whereas I think Henshaw and Aki can do the hard yards. I've two more I'm just going to shout out as winners. One winner, one loser. I think it's less so, don't get me wrong, he played well in the Arm Internationals. It's more a result of the law changes. I think Jamie Osborne, it's a big win. I think the changes to the kicking laws, it's not necessarily always going to suit a fullback of Hugo Keenan's style. So you're going to need that additional utility back that you can throw in to kind of try and usurp a game. And I think it suits Osborne, him down to the ground.
I think he's
going to be like a squad player nailed on. And I think it might come at the expense of Frawley.
Yeah, he's the other guy that could be that utility back for you, because he can cover centre, wing and fullback as well.
Yeah.
He's just not your 10 option, but I'm sure he'd give it a go.
But you're looking at a squad that's going to probably, from now on, going to carry, I would say, Crowley and Prendergast, regardless now. I think Prendergast has done enough that he'll be in the squads unless there's a drastic drop in form. I think Crowley probably should still be your starting 10, with Prendergast coming on against the Tyrone defence. But it was interesting that they opted to start him against Australia, is all I would say. And my final loser, I think, and I know, Chief, we're not going to say too much because we harp on about this too much, but I think this Autumn International window showed you that now is the time to scrap central contracts or to find a way of spreading the talent, because you're going to have Prendergast now pretty much locking down the 10 shirt at Leinster. I think Leinster would survive with having a Byrne sister to cover him when he's away on international duty. I think Frawley needs to be shipped off to Connacht. And then you have three international calibre 10s. Maybe they're not the greatest international calibre 10s, but you have three international calibre 10s juking out of the provinces. I think Gus McCarthy is still an academy contract
yeah.
at Leinster. And I don't care what you say, when Sheehan's back fit, he's just not going to get game time ahead of Sheehan and Kelleher. So yeah. So get him in Munster, get him in Connacht. Start spreading the wealth around, and let's maybe sacrifice Leinster's drive for 5 stars and prioritise Irish rugby. But look,
yeah, I think especially like on the central contract thing, if Gus McCarthy gets offered a senior deal from anyone within the system, if it's higher than like what Leinster are willing to offer, they can't outbid each other. So like, it's not that like if Munster come in and offered him starting money, Leinster can't match that to go to a senior deal and stuff like that. So it's interesting that like Leinster might jump the gun and offer him a senior deal first that he signs, but then do they risk Kelleher maybe going to Munster or something like that? And both of them have connections to Munster. I think the family in Cork. It's tedious enough, like, you know, like it, but
as an Irishman, you
spreading that thing, you know, spreading the talent around for the benefit of the national team.
Yeah, but like as an Irish, like I don't know about you. Maybe look, we're not born and bred in South Dublin. We're not born and bred in Limerick. But I think the rest of the country would actually prefer provinces fighting on all fronts and that developing Irish talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, that's my opinion, but look, I've barked on too long, and look, I'm really sorry, Rocky, the clock
certainly
went.
It did.
The clock went, so we'll have to pick it up next week.
I don't know why I came back.
Well, you came back for this next 6 minutes, Alvo. So let's go.
Don't worry, this will only take you 2 minutes now to get through this. We're just going to go through some of those NFL honours and hand out our own awards. And what I was thinking was, I'll go through the honours, I'll give the favourite now according to the bookmakers, and we can give our own, exclude the favourite, you know?
Outside of the favourite, we're going to park the favourite.
Outside of the favourite, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Alright, so we'll start with the MVP. Current favourite is Josh Allen. Which is probably going to be the case. I think you know mine. Chief, we'll let you go first.
MVP, I'm gonna back Player of the Week, Russell Wilson.
What odds would you get on him?
That is a bold choice.
800 to 1.
I think Lamar has lost one too many key games to make a comeback in the MVP voting. And look, I think, Rocky, we both share a similar affinity for the Eagles, and a decision to obviously pick Saquon as the first non-quarterback MVP in I don't know how many years at this stage.
I think since Adrian Peterson in
2008?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I'm not sure.
2012, I think, was it, no?
Or was it?
Could have been 12.
Yeah, I'll trust you on that. I can't fully remember. And I think if he breaks the rushing yardage, I think he will, because it's not the same as the NBA MVP, but it's still very much a narrative award. Look, to be brutally honest, maybe Josh Allen does deserve it, to be fair. He's had some clinch results, to be fair.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's probably going to go to Josh Allen. Just for the record, myself and yourself on Saquon there. We'll go on now to the Offensive Player of the Year, and obviously Saquon is the favorite here. This is generally the award that is given to the position players rather than the quarterbacks. So without giving you sort of who's next in the odds, I'll let you take a couple of
Do you want to go first, Chief?
I'm pretty sure next in the odds is probably Derrick Henry. And it's who I would probably like. Saquon, absolutely. I actually have it wrote down as my Offensive Player of the Year, because historically it's the quarterback that gets it, and had Josh Allen, which are obviously the two favourites for those two awards. But yeah, a second, like it would be Derrick Henry for me as the next best Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, like outside the running back position and your man Brock Bowers, who might be a shoo-in for Offensive Rookie of the Year potentially, I don't know. Probably not. I struggle to think of a wide receiver making that wave this year. of offensive powers. Like, you're looking at your standard player, your typical players have all kind of had down years.
Tyreek Hill's not having a great year. He's the top receiver. Now, he is third in the odds, but again, when you're thinking...
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good offensive players this year. It's the running back position and I think this year has been a good year. It's gonna maybe, it might deflate the value of running backs further for teams in development, but increase the odds now. You're seeing these complete running backs going to these put together teams and having dominant seasons. Not just Saquon and Derrick Henry, but Josh Jacobs going from Las Vegas to Green Bay. Aaron Jones going to the Vikings. You're seeing these running backs just having sensational seasons, going to good teams.
J.K. Dobbins, the Chargers.
I was just going to say, I think David Montgomery is probably just not on the cusp of it as well. Like he's had some very good early season games, quieter the last couple of weeks, but is still
the only thing that stands against him is unfortunately is he is a running back tandem. And that'll always kind of count against you when you're not the sole runner. And that's an incredible running back tandem, though.
Look, I think I'd have to agree with Chief here. I think, excluding Saquon, Derrick Henry is... And I think he probably would have been closer to the top odds prior to their matchup on Sunday. Defensive Player of the Year and TJ Watt is the current favourite.
Not been a stellar year for Nick Bosa.
No, he's missed plenty of time.
Yeah, it's very hard for me not to be very biased. I tweeted about him last night, but Dijon Cooper is having an amazing year, and he's very highlight play-y. So you look at that tackle on Derrick Henry, you look at the fourth down stop on, I think it was Jamar Chase against the Bengals. He's had a few like highlight package plays, but he's not making the highlight plays because he's shutting men down, and it's Quinion Mitchell. I think his stats are up on, he could be maybe defensive rookie of the year, but he's worth mentioning, because I think his stats match that incredible first year that Sauce Gardner had. Willing to be corrected on that, but I think they're thereabouts.
I think they're similar. I think Sauce might have had a couple of more interceptions. I don't, Quinion's yet to log one.
He's a shutdown corner.
Oh, absolutely. He's not getting targeted, but when he is, I think he's allowing probably like 30. I think that the most amount of yards he's allowed in the game was about 47, I think.
And then if you had to be not biased, you probably look at it. I don't get a chance to watch them a lot because they're typically in the late window. But Patrick Surtain is having a stellar year with Denver, who are having a fantastic year themselves as a whole organization. I don't know if anyone else is anyone.
Possibly Xavier McKinney.
Yep. Yeah. He was a name I was just going to float out there just because I missed you piling on the Giants last week.
Yeah. Why stop now?
Yeah, it's another flipping the bird to the Giants organization.
Yes. Suck it.
Yeah. I'll always subscribe to a bit of that. All right, we'll move on to offensive rookie. Jaden Daniels currently the favorite, which is fair enough, I think.
It's hard to, and even though he's had a great year, like, I don't know, is Bo Nix far behind him?
Bo Nix is sniffing him.
Second?
Probably in the odds. Consensual type of way. Yeah. Second, yeah.
Just to be clear, it's in the odds, like.
Bo Nix, he's actually close to evens. I think he's really surged just the last couple of weeks, and we saw Jaden Daniels lose three games in a row there to the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Steelers before the Eagles. So I think that kind of took his momentum away, but he's still up there. Bo Nix second. I still think Brock Bowers should be in consideration there. The gap between Bo Nix and Bowers is pretty wide, but
probably because of the positions more so.
I would argue it's
you know, they just tend to pick a quarterback for there as well. Absolutely. If they've had an exceptional year, like CJ Stroud, you know, like it's kind of that, like the main MVP, it's generally the quarterback that gets it. But like Caleb has like shown promising signs the last couple of weeks in a shit organization. You know, but he's so far off. I watched most of the Broncos game. I was very impressed with Bo Nix. So outside of Jaden Daniels, I was very impressed with Bo Nix. I think some of his passing options the other night were very good. So I'd probably pluck him for rookie outside of the favorite. I know he's close, as you say, in the odds and stuff like so.
He had a stunning pass. I think it was to Mims. Just over the middle there, the tight coverage.
Yeah.
He's been a huge surprise.
He's kind of breaking the mold a bit as well. Not breaking the mold, but breaking the trend in that, like, he spent years at the collegiate level. Obviously, he was at Auburn.
Yeah, well, I think he's older than the three of us.
What?
He might be older than the three of us.
Yeah, but there wasn't high hopes for him in Denver, so... Mm. Not particularly.
We might be seeing like a Drew Brees back with Sean Payton type partnership there.
Yeah, I guess.
We'll move on to defensive rookie. Jared Verse is the favorite. I think, again, the nature of his position, he's able to put up pressures and sacks and hurries, quarterback hits. And I think, as we just said before, Quinion is... He's not logging those flashy stats. He's still going to be my pick.
Where's my boy Cooper?
Cooper's down there.
The narrative of a white corner has to count for something.
Well, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in the 40s, and Cooper's here doing it in 2024.
I don't know if you've seen the t-shirt himself, and this is becoming a pro Eagles podcast, but himself and Blake and Chip were elite whites.
Elite whites, exciting whites.
Yeah, exciting whites. That's what it was. Elite whites. We're going to get cancelled for that.
Braden Fisk right after Quinion. Like, that's Braden Fisk and Jared Verse. Like, that's the Rams. Well, that's a stunning draft class right there, just between the two lads. Then you got Laiatu Latu, Chop Robinson, and then DeGene. So he's down there. But, like, even still, that's two teams. Or four players in the top six candidates are from two different teams. That's pretty good for the Rams and the Eagles there. Did you make a selection there, Chief?
Probably go with DeGene, to be honest.
DeGene, I have to say. He's got the vibes.
Yeah. I think for his stop of Derrick Henry alone, like he should have jumped like close to second at least, you know.
For reference, the 21-year-old rookie at 90 kilos against a 30-year-old veteran at 112 kilos. Look it up if you haven't seen it.
And then look up Derrick Henry stiff arm compilations.
Yeah.
Just
for reference. Coach of the year odds. I'm not going to tell you the favorite on this one. I'll just let you make your selection, and I'll tell you who the favorite is afterwards.
The favorite is probably who it should be. It should be Andy Reid, but it's probably McDermott in Buffalo.
Chief, I'll hit you in on this.
It's a Steelers night. Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin probably would have been my selection. If you had told me 4 years ago, 3 years ago that he was going to maintain this streak of never having a losing season, I would have said, no, that's got to end now over the next couple of years with the quarterbacks and the teams he's had. He's done a stunning job. But Mike Tomlin is second favorite to win this.
To McDermott.
Dan Campbell, number one.
Ooh. Oh.
Which I thought was surprising. I think he was close to the favorite, or did he win it a year or two ago? But I think it's generally accepted now that this Lions team is pretty stacked.
I think it probably says a lot about the team and Dan Campbell that we didn't consider him. They're quietly just hovering as the number one seed in the NFC. Yeah. Like, they're getting the wins and...
no disrespect to them. I think they're just...
No, and that's what I mean. It's a sign of a really good coach, like, that you're not thinking about him.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, for good or bad reasons. So, yeah, it's probably a good shout.
Just to throw out another name there, Kevin O'Connell as well. I think he's done a great job.
Situationally,
I mean, like, he took Kirk Cousins to the playoffs 2 years ago, and he's back, well, more than likely... They're very understated, but they're in contention for the one seed as well this year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Same record as Philadelphia. They're just playing backseat to the Lions in their division. Andy Reid's halfway down this odds list. Quinn. Yeah. Dan Quinn is also, I think he's sixth there. I think he's done a stupendous job. And we'll move back on to comeback player of the year. And this is, I'll tell you right now, Joe Burrow is the favorite.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think there's many great options this year.
JK, I know he's injured again, but is JK Dobbins potential?
He's fifth in the odds. I'll give you the top five is Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, Kyler Murray, Nick Chubb, and JK.
Okay.
I jokingly said Russell Wilson for the MVP, but I'm surprised he's not in that top five.
Yeah.
Comeback player of the year, like after the last two seasons he's had, I think.
But what's the parameters on comeback player? There's certain rules, isn't there?
I'm not sure if there is.
I think there's certain rules about how many games you were able to play
previously paid and stuff, yeah.
Because it can be an injury, it can be being out of the league, it can be... But I think there is certain rules. Because remember someone said it to me. He's like, he doesn't qualify for comeback player of the year this year.
But I thought Geno Smith was up for the award just because he was a backup previously or he had played poorly. So
that's what I'm saying. He hadn't played...
Started
X amount of games the year previously.
Maybe there are parameters then.
Cool.
We'll go with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, we'll give it to him because his defense is doing nothing for him.
Yeah.
Mm.
Cool.
That's us.
Yep. Perfect. Chief.
I'll segue back over to the other Oval Bowl and Champions Cup returns this weekend and is still viewed as the pinnacle of European club rugby. But has the start of the competition been somewhat overshadowed due to the autumn internationals, in particular with Ireland playing last Saturday their 150th anniversary match, so there wasn't really that gap week per se leading into it.
No, I get your point. I just don't think it's the reason, because I wouldn't say I felt this way last year, and we didn't play an additional test. I think it's the new structure. I say new, it's around a few years. It's around since, I want to say 2021, on the back of Omicron. Could be wrong on that. Not a fan. I think it just means that European rugby is slapped into a time of the year where park sport, for the time being, and I'll come back to it, but you're just competing with attention that people just don't have. So there's so much going on between work, staff, party nights out, between X, Y, and Z, between the kids' presence, between everything. And then you throw in on top, you've got the NFL's heating up, you've got Premier League, where you've got fixtures every day of the week, you've got the darts, which all of a sudden people become a fan of, and everything else in between. I just think it kind of comes and goes, the group stages, and I think the attention is still there for the knockout stages, but it's just not there for the pool stages anymore. Whereas previously, when you had kind of 6 weeks of it, not six consecutive weeks, but you had home and away, the three teams in your group, I think that was, and it was spread out from maybe, you might play two fixtures before the Autumn Internationals, and then you play them after. You'd play two in October, two in December, two in January.
Yeah.
And you'd return fixtures. So you also built that bit where you kind of, you might have had a result go against you and you're like, right, that's fine. But when Exeter come back to Leinster, we'll do them. Or when Toulouse come to Thomond, we'll do them.
Yeah.
Whereas, and it doesn't take a whole heap to qualify.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing. You could basically win a game with a bonus point, draw a game and lose, and still become like a round. It's round of 16 knockout. So like there's more teams qualify for the knockouts, but there's less pressure. Like if you remember, like going back years ago, like the Munster miracle match with Gloucester and stuff, they had to win by with the 4-try bonus point, and they had to win by X amount of points and stuff. I needed X amount of points as well to, for the points difference.
And at the time, Gloucester were top of the Premiership. I remember it vividly.
Yeah, you know. So it's, I think something you touched on as well. Like you don't have that home and away fixture. So like there was kind of rivalries built up. Like so, Gloucester was obviously one with Munster, Leinster and Leicester always seem to duel it out in group stages and stuff. So. It's very much diluted down to a lesser competition until the quarterfinals. Like even the round of 16 is, it's difficult because like if with the South Africa teams there, I think it's great that they're in it because they're powerhouses when they play their full squads, but if you get drawn away in the round of 16, you're like, well, shit, we're on the verge of not making it out of our own league, so we need to focus on the league to try and get secure top eight as it is in the URC to play here next year. So it's like, let's throw this. I think the Bulls done it last year. They focused on they sent a weekend team up to Northampton to try and then beat Munster at home the following week in the URC, which backfired for them. So they were essentially, they were kind of out of the running of two competitions 2 weeks in a row. So I suppose my point of the Autumn Internationals overshadowing it isn't there. It's just, as you say, they're probably, it's the other external factors that are leading to the lack of interest and build up in it.
I think so too. Or like even if you went back to, like, I know it's obviously there's issues with fixture congestion and the URC brings that headache and the introduction of South African teams, more teams, and there's as many rows in the UK as there always was between the RFU and the clubs, and France has its own political issues. But I think even if you went back to a pool, four teams, three fixtures, one more fixture. Yeah. It's the same amount of fixtures they paid. Two.
They still play three fixtures at the moment. Yeah. So it would be, is it three pool fixtures to play?
I think so. But
it's only one extra game. Yeah.
There's no parity in terms of fixtures. So at least if you had a pool and you played your once, and I know you get the rubber green home and away, but at least you could say, well, in that pool, Munster won two of the three games and Toulouse won three out of three. So those two teams, it makes sense that they come out of that pool.
Yeah.
And I don't see how that's not a better system. And I wouldn't be in favour of maybe bringing in, there was a way of working the fixtures that you just went straight to quarterfinal.
Yeah. It should, I think maybe really it should be the best eight teams.
Yeah. Just
like it, I think it puts more importance on sending a strong squad to an away fixture. So like the French teams historically don't travel well, So it's like they go, if they get a losing bonus point or a try bonus point, it's generally tends to be enough, because the bank on their home fixtures to get the results, to get them over the line and stuff. And then like I said about like top 14 as well, majority of French clubs prioritize the top 14. There's certain clubs in France know they can compete for it, and that's Toulouse, La Rochelle, maybe Toulon if they're back in premium competition. And outside of that, the other teams to qualify just turn up for fixtures, because the money in the top 14 is what keeps them going. The TV revenue and the sponsorship is what keeps them going. Like it's their bread and butter.
And there's an element too of, as a competition, it's an absolute juggernaut. I think it starts long before the URC and it finishes in June.
It always goes. Like I think it's usually two, 3 weeks after the Champions Cup final. So it is. It's a grueling competition, and like some of the highlights of it are fantastic. You know, like, because it's just powerhouse packs all across the board. I know it's something we kind of touched on before, kind of the structure of it, and I think it definitely needs to be revisited, and you know, potentially go back to the old pool stages, but like that, even just throw an extra fixture in, but cut out the round of 16.
Yeah.
So it's not an actual extra fixture over the course of the season.
Yeah, but sides feel like they've earned their place, or don't feel hard done by, I suppose. Cool. Well, look, gents, that concludes Agree to Disagree. That was I'll give you both kudos. That was a very good Agree to Disagree. I think that the regulations and rules around time got thrown to one side. But look, we'll round it out rather nicely. A lot of sport happening over the course of this week between the Premier League fixtures, the NFL, it all, the Champions Cup. But I actually think we're bereft of quality, even if we're full to the gills of quantity this week. So this actually was a bit of a struggle. And I'm going to break a bit of a golden rule, and I am going to suggest a fixture that doesn't suit the working man. But look, it's December. I don't think the gaffer's paying too much attention to what you do on a Friday in December. Lions face off against the Packers Thursday night football. So I think that is about 1:30 Irish time, Friday morning. It's technically the weekend. Sky Sports, if you have it, or should be on the Zone, I think, or Amazon Prime as well.
It's a great choice. Just huge significance in the NFC seedings there. I'm going with another NFC matchup. It's the Vikings at the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons kind of desperately clawing onto their division lead, and the Vikings desperately trying to keep pace with the Eagles and the Lions. That game's on at 6 on Sunday. I don't think it's on the main slate, so you'll have to get it on your Red Zones or your dedicated broadcasts. The Zone, if you have it, I wouldn't advise it.
Yeah, I had the free version.
Yeah. We don't endorse dodgy streams here.
No, but you can get the Zone. You just don't have access to fixtures, but you've access to certain shows and stuff, one of which is Sunday and 60.
I was just going to say, we don't endorse the streams, but if our listeners go and get them, I'm not going to be too saddened.
Well, I'm on about a legitimate source.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. I'm bringing up the illegal stuff. Yeah, interesting that you went with Michael Penix Jr.'s first game against the Vikings. As a narrative. Chief, what you got for us?
Going for a London derby with Spurs and Chelsea Sunday, 4:30 kickoff on Sky Sports main event. Yeah, it's just London derby. Chelsea, good form. Spurs, being Spurs.
Two sides that, well, look, Chelsea are in great form. The only difference between Arsenal and Chelsea is alphabetical.
Yeah.
And say what you want about Spurs, but they bring the entertainment.
Something we actually spoke about with the Angie Ball earlier in the season. So It's yeah, I think it should be an entertaining game for the viewers on Sunday.
Perfect. Well, look, that's all for me.
Do I go chief, or have I been bumped down the pecking order? Do I still go second? That's all from me.
And that's all from me.
And that concludes the penultimate episode. Make sure to like, share, comment, subscribe, whatever you like, all that good stuff. And join us next week for the final episode of the season. And as the gentleman says, say Finn.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.